We've read in Ezekiel how the Lord punished the Israelites. But God is not always a God of punishment. He's a God of love. He's a God of understanding. He's a God that knows our needs. We thank him that he's always there for us. But there's times when he does get upset with the way we act. And he did with Ezekiel at that time. But here, in chapter 32, we find once again that they are going into war. The first verse, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Sennacherib was a strong king of the Assyrians. Many battles he's fought. Many nations he's conquered. Now he came against Jerusalem. He surrounds the city. And in those days, wars didn't last just a few days. They stood back. They waited out. Now here, Sennacherib felt, because the water of Jerusalem was on the outside of the city, he could starve them and thirst them out. But Hezekiah was king, and Hezekiah, in verse 2, saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he purposed to fight against Jerusalem. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brooks that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? If they don't have water, it's going to be hard for them too. Now in 2 Kings, you don't have to turn, it's just one verse. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 20, it says, and the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his mighty, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Judah? He built conduits or tunnels through solid rock, almost a third of a mile. This is documented in the Word, and it's documented in history, and it's documented, if anyone has been to Jerusalem, that those tunnels stand there today, and the water still flows through them into the city. They had to dig through solid rock. And they didn't have automatic drills and all these things that they have today. They did it by hand with chisels and pickaxes and things like this. And they made the tunnels a third of a mile long, 2.5 feet wide, and 6 feet high. God gave them the strength and the time, because the king of Assyria felt like he'd won already. He was going to take these people over. In fact, he sent his armies ahead of him, and he went off to fight another battle with another city called Lachish, which is in Mesopotamia. He was so sure of himself that he wasn't even going to worry about it. And what did they do? They stand without the city and they torment the people inside. But Hezekiah knew this would happen. And in verse 5 we'll read, "Also he strengthened himself and built up all the walls that were broken, and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the city of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them by saying," he spoke to them now, "be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there is more with us than with him." In the 8th verse it says, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He was waiting upon the Lord. He wasn't worried about them being out there and taunting the people and saying things that were against Jerusalem. Now we'll skip to the 10th verse. "Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that ye abide in the siege of Jerusalem? Do not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense unto it? Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the peoples of the lands, where the gods of the nations of those lands any way able to deliver their lands out of mine hand?" He was bragging. He was taunting them. He was telling them they had no chance. But Hezekiah didn't believe that. He was trusting in God. He was trusting in God. Yes, he made his shields and his arrows and his stronghold and built up the walls. Yes, this is what you do in wars. But you still pray. You still ask God when things come against you. When things are hard for you. You don't lay down and say, well, I'm all through. I can't do anymore. That's it. I'm dead. No, dear ones, we put our trust in the Almighty. He's there. He's there to build up our walls. He's there to shield us from the enemy with the full armor of God. All we have to do is put it on. He's always there for us, dear ones. This king thought that he had it. Take them down. They're already fallen before us. And he continued to taunt. Verse 13 says, "Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands, where the gods of the nations of those lands any way able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand. What did Hezekiah do? Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on his manner, neither yet believe, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? Doesn't the enemy come against you? Doesn't he say you're going through this problem? You can't fight it. You can't beat it. Who's going to help you? Who's going to help you? The enemy comes against us with all his arrows and darts. And what do we have to shield them off? Is God's holy armor. Keep that armor on, dear ones. Don't take it down and put it aside and say, well, I haven't had any problems. Okay, I'll just put it aside. That's when the enemy attacks. That's when Sennacherib attacked. This is when he came against them. The walls were falling down. The water was outside. How were they going to stand up? Do you think he didn't have his spies come in and check the things out to look at the lay of the land? He was checking all this out, but in fact, he was already fighting another place because he felt like Jerusalem wouldn't stand. Jerusalem couldn't stand against him. And he kept taunting them. Verse 16. And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. So sure of himself, sticking his chest out, just as Goliath did against David. He stood in the valley, the biggest man around, taunting the people. Come on, Saul, send your powerful men against me. They were afraid. Who did God send? God sent the strongest of all, the smallest of all, David. He didn't need a mighty, mighty person to go out there and fight this giant. He used David, full of the Holy Spirit. That was his power. That's the power of God in you and in I. If God is for us, who can be against us? What did Sennacherib have? Pride. Pride. What does God say about pride in Proverbs 16? We all know the verse. Say it with me. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit, an arrogant spirit. And we have a God of love and of strength and of mercy, and who will fight our battles for us. All we have to do is depend on him. Hezekiah depended on him. He wrote these letters to downgrade Hezekiah and God. In verse 18, then they cried with loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affright them, and to trouble them, that they might take the city. Even in their own language, they spoke to them. Told them, you haven't got a chance. You see our armies. You see our chariots. You see us. We're going to take you down. Oh, yeah? You're going to take God down? I don't think so. But you go ahead and think what you want. What did Hezekiah do? Did he yell back and say, oh, we're going to take... No, he didn't say that. In the 18th verse, what does he say? Then they cried with loud voices in their language, speeches unto people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affright them and to trouble them, and they might take the city. And they spake against God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And Hezekiah, in verse 20, and for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. They didn't go out and set up their weapons against them and start yelling back and doing all these things. They prayed. This is what God expects from you and I. Something comes against you, you don't go out and yell at people and use foul language. You pray and ask God, how do I handle this, Lord? How do I handle this? God will answer, dear ones. God does answer our prayers. And he did answer the prayers of the people of Jerusalem, Hezekiah and Isaiah. Verse 21 says, and the Lord sent an angel. He sent an angel. Doesn't say he sent a multitude of angels. He sent an angel. That's all God needed. That's all God needs. He don't need armies. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's there for you and me at all times, dear ones. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders, and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame on his face. He went back to Assyria with his tail between his legs because God sent an angel. That's all he needed to send. What a mighty God we have, dear ones. Can you visualize it? Can you think of it when you go through these problems? Who's with you? Who's with you? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He fights the battles for us. He's here for you. He's here for me. We see his hand upon us, dear ones. His mercy endureth forever. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of others, and guided them on every side. But go back to verse 21. After the angel came and took down Assyria and Sennacherib returned. So he returned with shame on his face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his gods, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. His own bowels, his own children, his own men killed him. His own sons slew him for the shame that he caused Assyria. Now who has the mightier God? Thank God that he's always there for you and I, dear ones. He's always there to do the work. And whatever we go through, no matter how hard it may seem, he'll give you the strength to fight on, to go on. Why? Because he loves you. He isn't worried about that you're a big person or you're strong. But your strength is in your weakness. God looks at these things, and the Lord loves you. And he's there for you no matter what the problem. Yes, sometimes he did punish the Israelites. And sometimes you and I get punished too because we don't obey. But he's still there and he still loves you. And he'll never leave you or forsake you, no matter what your problem is. Take it to him. Take it to him. He loves you. In the name of the Lord be praised.